I would like to welcome you to the finissage of Selma Selmann's exhibition Flowers of Life, who I worked with the curator Matthias Ulrich. And we will now continue the evening with a panel which focuses on Selma Selmann's art and her activism. And for this, I would like to welcome our guests. We have invited Anisa Katharina Seko to do the moderation, and Zipporah Elders and Amila Ramovic to speak with Selma Selmann. Thank you all for coming. And I will briefly introduce you to the speakers. Anisa Katharina Seko is based in Amsterdam, where she is working as the director of the Kunsthaus Sieb in Beeserswag. And she's also the founder of the art space Wrong Wrong and working as a curator and art historian. She met Selma Selmann in 2021 and 2022 while she was doing a residency at the Rijksakademie. And Selma was at the same time doing a postgraduate program there. Zipporah Elders worked with Selma Selmann in Berlin. She is based in Berlin, artist and curator, and worked as the head of the curatorial apartment and outreach at the Gropiusbau in Berlin. And she curated Selma Selmann's solo exhibition Hero there. She was on view last winter. Maybe some of you have seen it. And last but not least, Avila Ramovic, who is a curator based in Sarajevo and also an associate professor for musicology at the University of Sarajevo. And she worked together with Selma Selmann in context of her exhibition at the National Gallery of Bosnia and Herzegovina. And now I would hand over to Anisa. Thank you very much all for coming, and yeah, have a good evening.
Thank you. Thank you. Hi. You cannot see me. I know.
Sorry.
Well, thank you so much, Teresa and Matthias. It's incredible to be here. Wow, where to start? So I had thought we are now today in Frankfurt, but in the exhibition, as well as in this round tables, there are different geographies. So I thought of just saying a few names of few places that recontextualize where we are today. So I start with Bihać. It's a small village in Bosnia and Herzegovina where Selma spent a lot of time. Sarajevo, Pristina, Syracuse, upstate New York, Washington, D.C., Amsterdam, Berlin, Frankfurt. I wanted to mention the names of these places because I think they are very deeply interlinked with the psychogeographies of the exhibition, as well as of Selma and of all of us here tonight. And they are very specific places. For example, how I know that Amila and Selma met for the first time in Kosovo at a small art space called Stacion. And also Kosovo is also, Albanian is a language that was very important in making the title of this exhibition, The Flowers of Life, Lulieta. Syracuse and Washington, D.C. is where Selma studied, and also where a lot of like the artistic and feminist practice was developed. We'll come to that later. Amsterdam is the place where me and Selma met at the Rijksakademie. It's also the place where me and Zipporah met many years ago. And I think also the place where you and Selma met.
That was even Vijfhuizen, a village next to Amsterdam.
Yeah, I should have included it. I forgot Vijfhuizen or
it was online, it was COVID time, yeah. So.
And Berlin, of course, where you work together for the exhibition, and now Frankfurt. But it's great to be here together, ladies. I thought to start actually with thinking a little bit about the genesis of exhibition making for you, Selma, and thinking about this great big first exhibition that happened in Sarajevo together with Amila. And, because, you know, you were very young, but suddenly there was this big exhibition or important exhibition that happened at the National Gallery in Sarajevo. So maybe I want to invite you, Amila, to just tell a little bit how that started. And that was like already like 5 years ago. Am I correct?
Yeah, it did start 5 years ago. Good evening to everybody. It's so wonderful
to be with all of you tonight and to discuss and celebrate Selma's work and the wonderful work that the Shirn staff with Matthias and Katrin and everybody did. So big congratulations. And also, you know, it's really, I feel like I'm getting old because, you know, 5 years ago was suddenly, it looks from here like a lifetime ago, but yeah. So Selma and I, we met at the Station project in Pristina, and then this is when I was first introduced to her work. Of course, she was not an unknown artist. She has already received several awards for young artists, and she has had a kind of a presence. And after that time, we've met several times, and we were thinking to do something together. And suddenly my idea was actually that if we should do something, then the good thing would be, because she was a very young artist, she still didn't have some big solo shows, nothing. I said, okay, well, that should be a big exhibition at the National Gallery. So, big monographic exhibition. And it was a little bit too ambitious. It sounded as a too ambitious idea, but I was lucky to speak with the director of the National Gallery and to say, okay, we have this young artist. I know she never had an exhibition this size before or anything, but she will surely have a lot of them, and it's very important that the first one of those is done in her own country. And he was very happy to open this idea. So this idea was historical, not only for Selma, but this was the first exhibition that featured a young artist as the main artist of the, let's say, exhibition season, of exhibition of this size, of basically 2.5 floors of the gallery. And also, we have to say, this was the first exhibition of a Roma artist, which was important culturally and politically for Bosnia, because even though Roma community is very present and important in our society, somehow their acknowledgement of their contribution to our culture was never actually took place. To make the long story short, we were working for the exhibition for 2 years. The main goal was to produce as many as possible new works. I think the exhibition showed more than almost 100 pieces, or a little bit over 100 pieces. I think, except for a few videos, all were new. It was very well received, and a lot of young girls said that they would like to be like Selma when they grow up in Bosnia after this exhibition, which was the main success that we achieved.
Yeah, beautiful. And here on the background are some images from the show. And I believe two of the works are actually here as well.
I still haven't seen the exhibition, so I'm waiting. I will see them. But I am very proud that many of these works from the exhibition were first time done in Sarajevo. You know, so the gold extraction or platinum extraction, the big canvases, and some others. So I'm very happy that there will be always a connection of this exhibition with other works. So I have to say, we are very grateful that Selma gave us an opportunity to do this with her.
You're welcome.
And perhaps what is so beautiful of Selma's work is that indeed a lot of the work it has this process element and life. It grows as our life changes and grows. So like the performance Letters to Omar is an ongoing series of poetry and letters to an auto-fictional character. So is working with extractions, with mother gold, with motherboards, or as you say, like finding gold out of nothingness, creating gold from scraps. So I think that is a beautiful feature. And now maybe I ask with you, that was 5 years ago, but then COVID happened, Selma moved to the Netherlands, and Zipora, you were working in Berlin, and you had this moment of thinking, wow, in Berlin it would be important to show the work of an artist like Selma Selman, and maybe just like to introduce and maybe have you speak a little bit about the exhibition.
Yes, thank you. Also from my side, it's wonderful to be here. Thank you. Yes, it was, Actually, I encountered Selma's work through information about your show. So that was already 5 years ago. And then I was curious about Selma, so I asked for a studio visit, but it was COVID, so we did it online. You were home, I think, yeah, with your family. And I was in Five House, which is this village where I was the director of an art space. And we discussed and we did a very small, super small collaboration in online format in a newsletter. But what happened was that during the studio visit, your dad fell sick, and it was like, it was at that moment not serious, but there was a moment of an interruption in the in our studio visit, which was an online conversation. Now, fast forward, I was the chief curator at Gropiusbau in Berlin, and we had actually a postponed and later cancelled very big group exhibition, and this was for political reasons, unfortunately, and I didn't. I didn't fully agree with that, but it happened that this show couldn't go through, and I had to think. The question was to me, what can we do in 4 months, which is going to be powerful? And I thought, okay, well, this sounds very instrumentalizing, but I'm going to turn this into something good and still take an opportunity to bring something forward, which is important for this moment, especially in Berlin and Germany. So I talked with Selma, and we had a good conversation also about, maybe you can say something about that as well, how, of course, challenging it is to make something in 3 months. And actually, the request to me was to do a performance, and I said, no, I've known and I followed Selma's work. I think in Berlin, the first big show should be a show. It should be an exhibition. So with the 60,000 euros that we have, which is not a lot at such big institutions, we're going to make something. And we figured it out. So we had a performance, which was let's say the basis, it was the foundation for the exhibition, and then we made what we wanted to show was a cross-section of your practice, so different elements, different approaches, different materials, but the basis of it is the motherboard performance, which you already did with your family, and most importantly with your father. And it was very special for me, for us, and I think also for things coming together to have you with your family and your father there in Gropiusbau, bringing this presence, bringing this voice, bringing this embodiment of, I think also female emancipation, but also emancipation in other ways of marginalized people and communities in a moment in which a lot is in discussion about these topics. Maybe you want to say something to that? Otherwise, I'm talking about you all the time.
I don't know. If there is like a... can you hear me? Okay. Wait. Something that people always ask me is like, what is your best exhibition you did so far, you know? And then like, if I say the best is in Sarajevo, then, or the best is in Gropiusbau or here, then I have, you know, like, then we fight. But to be honest, like every show that I make is the best show, because I know that I give 100% of myself, and every work that I do is coming from here. It comes from this honest, brutal reality. And as I say, every work is a transformation of something which is impossible to do. It was the same with this show, but something that I think for me was, I wouldn't say the best experience, but something that made me kind of grow as an artist, but also like as a woman, was an experience in Sarajevo, because, you know, for me it's easy if I go and show my my works in Documenta or Manifesta. It's not easy, but it's kind of easy to kind of talk with the audience. But when you have to show your work in the country where you are from, then you have like these direct criticism. Are you good enough? And people are really kind of checking every word you say, everything, what you do, how you paint, how you think. And for me, it was like, you know, I was shitting myself, like, what people are gonna say now? Do I know to paint, or I don't know? So from that on, I think I grew up, you know. If I could face the audience in Sarajevo, for me it was fine. I will face Germans easily. So yes, but then another very important moment in my life was the performance in Gropiusbau, because yes, it was amazing to work with Zipora. It was challenging to work with such a big institution, and I remember I remember the conversation when people said like, okay, there will be maybe around 300, 400 people. It's enough, you know. And then, you know, performance happened. There was like 3,000 people, and no, 80% of people couldn't even see the performance. So I was like, now you see, you know, when I put a show, I put a show. But yes, but another very important moment was that my family was performing with me, especially my father. And I remember when he was so scared entering this audience, and we are just ready to go into our characters to destroy computers, right? And then he asked me, are you stressed? I'm like, I'm not stressed. I'm stressed because you are stressed. And he's saying me, I'm stressed because you are stressed. So no one was actually stressed. So he did it professionally. So
yeah. That's beautiful. Like performance. When I first met Selma, it was really like a rock star meeting. We were at the library of Rijksakademie, and I heard someone says, where can I find this book by Susan Sontag? I turn around and I see Selma. I feel like there is some resemblance there.
Yeah, that was nice.
And then we bonded about on machineries, and I was very fascinated by her use of machineries. She was working a lot with Mercedes-Benz, and that has evolved now here with the flowers, and in Berlin that went on the motherboards. And we also bonded over Lana Del Rey. So just introducing some sort of feminine elements that will come up a bit later, but maybe about the performance that you are just mentioning and the concept of motherboards, Zipur and Selma, would you like to talk a little bit more about it? What was happening there?
Yeah, so basically motherboards performance is something that I started like 2 years ago, because as I said, in my work the process is very important. First I come up with idea, which is the performance, but then I'm really looking for the source. What do I get from the motherboards? And I was researching for 2 years, how do I get the gold in non-toxic way? And during my residency at Rijks Academy, I managed to find a way with my mentors and scientists who helped me to actually extract the real 24 karat gold. But yeah, like when I do this performance act together with my family, we just agree that we're gonna destroy 200, or depends like how many computers we need. And then I write the text. Sometimes I also like to call these performances like operas. Not that I sing, but as you can see, I can talk. So then I just like read the text that I'm writing, and it's always interactive with the audiences. It's not all the time that we are just destroying, you know. We are actually performing and transforming the space, and you know, and it's interactive with the audience. So.
Yeah. And I think what I, maybe your dad is also someone you talk with to bring up your ideas, and he really is also your manager in a way. Yeah. That's what you said sometimes. And then what I had to think about, what I find so powerful, is that how you combine a personal stories, experiences, desires, mm-hmm. goals into something that speaks to a lot of people, and which becomes like stimulating and emancipating for many more people, like you said, to young girls that wanted to be Selma in the future. And of course, technology and like cars and access and also IT computers is considered, you know, in socialization in a heteronormative and patriarchal society as something male, something that men do. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you take up this huge machinery, and in my feeling, it gets bigger and bigger every show, like here, the flowers, but also the huge Mercedeses. It is like, it's a fight you're already winning. You're just overcoming it. You're not even doing the fight. You're already there. Yeah. And that was also so powerful, you know, the performance in Gropiusbau, there was music involved. There was a cellist involved. But it was noisy and it was dusty, and it just took a lot of space in this super clean white cube in an old 19th century German building. And I thought it was super, I don't know, it was, in that sense, it was poetry, but it was also brutal, radical and revolutionary.
Thank you, Zipporah, very well said.
And that was also in the title, which was Hero, with the zero, which is like this moment of change.
Yes, so as I said, for me, it's very important, you know, like, not every time I have the answers and the questions, why do I do something, right? Or what is, for example, message that I'm sending with this show? I never consider myself as an artist who is purely interested in messages or statements. I'm more interested, how do I actually give you the space so you can actually think a little bit for yourself? But for me personally, I think that, you know, art could change a little bit something, you know, even though, of course, these days we all know that art is a privilege thing, you know, not everyone has the access to the museum. But what I'm trying to do is actually to bring people kind of to enjoy together, to learn together. And for me, just the fact that I collaborate with my family is already the change in a way. Mm-hmm. You know?
Zipporah, you brought up, and also Selma, like this element of emancipation, thinking of like how do we reappropriate technology from a feminist perspective. And so activism is something that we'll also speak about tonight. And when we were preparing the conversation, Amelia was talking to me about how in Sarajevo there is a very big history of artists dealing with activism. But then you are speaking particularly how that is different for Selma, or how that is developed in her. Maybe you want to tell a little bit more about activism within Selma. And
you know, now when you are talking, I just got an idea. You know, some people who have to go to school for the arts or who work in the arts, we were reading this book, Relational Aesthetics by Nicolas Bourriaud many years ago, which is talking a little bit how he's afraid that the future of the art is a little bit, let's say, in danger because the art is in society, the value it's getting is a bit transactional. And somehow transactional in this case would mean, okay, you have to quickly... I thought they were talking to me. A transactional would mean that you would have to instantly get something from it. So easily, for many people, it would be okay to buy an object which has a financial value. But for people who are, let's say, like us, people who go to museums and galleries and attend cultural events, who have jobs, who have certain lifestyle, you don't have much time to give, or you always intend, but you never manage to give attention to some very important issues of social relevance, of political relevance, that are dealing with empathy, solidarity, etc. So this is when the art comes in. So somebody, an artist, comes and gives you a strong political message, gives you a strong, social message, explains how, with this strong statement, we become part of an action which is what we are, something that we believe in. And this is kind of an instant fix. So you go to an activist, art exhibition, you see, a Roma artist, a feminist artist, somebody dealing with, in Bosnia, often war, genocide, etc. And then you have this experience and you agree with the artist, the experience is powerful, you go home to your job, to your work, and you are done. So this is the transaction. This is how you pay often your dues to the society. And I was thinking recently how actually the power of such art is very small, because this art is just confirming what you have. It's about a message about something that we already believe. On the other hand, the art, which can really, truly have this activist potential, that can really make a change, is not the one that is revealing something that we already know or feel. And this is why I very much appreciate Selma's art, which is very strongly activist, even though in it you cannot read any particular message. But it confronts very... radical positions, seemingly even not such connected positions, which are relating to history, to social positions, to feminist agenda, to personal histories. And somehow we are all triggered
to create an opinion, to take these works home, to keep them with us and to create an opinion. And I think that what Selma now said, this is how her art is truly meaningful, the activist, and how I believe that we should really think more about bringing back the power to the artistic expression by being more cautious about direct messages and supporting this kind of statement.
Yeah. I mean, also, thank you so much. The word activism right now, it's also a very specific word which is being rethought, I believe, in the moment that we live in. And different ways of doing activism are also, I think, for all of us individually, are things that we are now redefining and thinking within ourselves, how do I act? What can I bring to the world? Well, how can I make a change? And I think Selma maybe would love to hear you talk about it, and both, I guess, in the artwork, but also sometimes, you know, what is art and activism? Sometimes it is artists working through it, but sometimes it's also an ethical civic duty that individuals who sometimes are artists take, like participating in an organization. But maybe just a way to introduce Selma. Yeah, how was your relationship with activism developed through the years, actually?
Yeah, so I never make the difference within my work. You know, what is art and what is activism? For me, it works as one. I mean, there's so many other projects that a lot of people, for example, don't know that I'm doing back home. One of them is my foundation, which is called Get the Heck to School. So I've been working on this project from 2017. You know, I was still very young artist, but for me it was very important that I start the foundation, that I can send the scholarships to the Roma girls in my village so they don't miss the time, you know, because for me the time is very important. And I'm happy that I started this in 2017, because now in 2024 there is like almost the entire, you know, village is educated. There was only 20% of the girls, you know, who would finish the elementary school, but with my foundation and with my role in the village, you know, to be a role model, to be someone who is actually, you know, helping them in a way, you know, means a lot. You know, it means a lot when you have someone, you know, like them, you know, that they can see me like them. And yeah, so it really worked.
Do I understand correctly? For getting back to school, the foundation gives scholarships to young women?
Yeah, it gives scholarships
women.
To the Roma girls, but also boys. And I started with 5 girls, and now I have around 45 girls and five boys that are getting the scholarship. And 90% of the girls finished the elementary school and later, you know, higher education. Another thing that I'm doing is like I create these video festivals back home that I bring both Roma and non-Roma people together. You know, like even though I grew up in Bosnia, I'm still considered, and my family and all our Roma people, as the other, like a second class citizens. So for me, it's very important that, like, you know, the citizens kind of come together and enjoy and rethink their positions and just enjoy arts. So we are not talking about the concept or ideologies of art. I just put people together, basically. And many other. I created also a studio, which is called Studio Selma Selman. This is the first art institution in the ghetto. And I created a library for kids. It's like educational program. And and my plan now in the next 5 years is actually to build the school for the uneducated mothers, you know, who can actually learn how to read and write, and also the playground for the kids in the village. But this is a long-term, my dream project, which I hope it's gonna happen. So we'll see.
For sure, myself, I really look forward to visit Bihać and see a little bit also the reality there and meet some of these people that I hear about from you. So this element of emancipation is, of course, a very complex one, how to navigate it. Also, what it means, I think there is a difference thinking about Roma people in Bosnia. It's a different thinking about Roma people in Kosovo, or what that means for a German audience. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know how each of you relate to that, or I don't know if there are many Roma people in the audience at all today, but for sure I wonder how that was in Berlin as well, and maybe that is something that Zipporah, you can talk a little bit about. How was the exhibition perceived and what it meant for you as well as a curator? Because I think, and thinking about feminism, it's not so much about women as it is about thinking how the personal is political and how everything that we do somehow has a political dimension. So I wonder how that experience was of having the exhibition and holding this Roma voice in Berlin.
Yes, for me it felt as an honor. If you ask me how did it feel, that's my answer. It was also a moment of empowerment, I think for us both as women working in the art world, and especially in institutional context. I mean, I was of course the head of the whole department, but at the same time you always have to deal with certain structures and maybe also things you have internalized. So it's always, I think, every project as a woman working in the arts is also about, small challenges, bigger challenges, and thinking about where the potential lies. And I think, what you're saying, I think it was, and also what you said, that this fact that it's a poetic approach of a lot of political topics. So actually, I don't feel some as not saying things directly, because especially in the performance also that we just had, things are said actually, and there are references to thinkers in the works, in the metal paintings, for example, at Gropiusbau, it was for Derrida, but as you said, Susan Sontag, who of course visited Sarajevo in the war, and brought art, which was also a super important, I think, powerful moment of bringing, a civilized moment, a moment to have, a moment to sit and encounter imagination. And I think it was, it was a lot of practical stuff. I also said in a press release for Gropiusbau that Salma can turn dreams into action.
Yeah.
By that I mean, of course, your own dreams, like the big dreams, but also the more concrete dreams, such as I want a huge satellite dish of 3 meters diameter into the Gropiusbau. And we were standing there, we're like, okay, this is it's a good dream. It's going to be quite difficult to get it into this very massive building. But we made it happen. We even had to negotiate. And you also told me, because they were saying there were a lot of men, actually, who had to do the lifting. And they were saying, no, it's not possible, it's not possible, it's not possible. And we were actually all women, the whole team of women. Like, no, but it should happen. And it was this very interesting power dynamic. And then you told me, no, this is how we do it at home. They say it's not possible, and you offer things and then it will happen. And then in the end, somehow it happened. I don't even know how anymore. Do you remember? Through the stairs?
Yeah, through the stairs.
Oh my God.
Stairs. I have the stairs.
Like the marble stairs.
Through the marble stairs. Yeah.
So these were all small moments of so much empowerment. But it's also playful. There's humor. There's personal emotions. And this makes the work, I feel, of a curator so beautiful, because you really get to encounter an artistic mind. But then in the end, of course, showing it and making that possible in such a short amount of time. And I knew that so many people would come. So we knew, Selma and I. And then all these people being affected by this cry for love, for imagination, and for going forward to take care of each other in that moment, which was shortly after the start of the war. That was, it was super special.
Yeah,
me too. Like, it's a very, thank you, Zipporah. That was beautiful. And there is this strange connection, actually, of the war, I guess, moving in these different psychogeographies, like in Bosnia and now elsewhere in the world. And yeah, I remember, Emila, I hope that's all right. I'm disclosing you were telling me how. Because Emila is a wonderful curator, but also a musicologist. And I was asking her, like, how come you, like, why did you end up studying musicology? And you told me how you actually studied during the war. And you said, that is also because, you said, I wrote it down, you said, the art history professors or were killed or fled the country. So, and I somehow I thought that was a beautiful entry into your curatorial practice of thinking about how to sort of give imagery to those voices that are gone. And then I thought maybe in a way also bringing the voice of, I don't know, engaging with the voice of Selma and maybe as a way to find your own voice and
Connection between, I mean, you know, when you tell me to find the connection between visual arts and musicology, all my work is about, I don't understand when did it happen, who decided to divide music and other arts, like different things, because you don't have, like, wooden art is one thing, metal art is one thing, and art made of sound is third thing, you know, but somehow the sound thing has a special place. So I would always say that in my life, things were always connected and always were one in different ways. About the war reference, I will just make a brief remark. So what Zipporah said, this arrival of Susan Sontag during the war in Sarajevo, where she staged the Godot with local actors. And actually, there's a wonderful documentary by Pierre Jaltz about this event, very powerful. If somebody is interested, I can forward it to you. During this time, you know, we were living under siege, so it wasn't Gaza, because this level of destruction is unprecedented, but it was, as one girl who came from Gaza, she said, well, it was similar, just a bit less, because the technology was less efficient at that time. But we were living 400,000 people in a circle, the bombs and the tanks and snipers are on top of the hill, and they can see everybody because we are in a valley, and they're throwing bombs, they're shooting, they're sniping, because there's river, there's bridges, you have to cross the bridge to get the water, there's no water, there's no electricity, no food, no heating. Anyway, 4 years living like that, it's fine, you get used to it. If it happens to anybody, we find a way. But what was amazing under these conditions, that Sarajevo had this amazing art life. During this time, more than 2,000 concerts that we registered were held, 170 exhibitions, exactly. And apart from Susan Sontag, another 160 theatrical productions. People were willing to go to see the artworks and experience art, even though their life was endangered by this situation. And this is why I think our audience has a very particular appreciation for art, and this experience is not bad to mention, because nowadays we often a little bit question the position of art, the value of art, who goes to the gallery, do we all appreciate it? But actually, this is a fact that art was as important as food and the water and air, and we should all remember it next time when we go to the gallery. We're really going to get some air. Beautiful. I will not make this long story, but about the voice.
Yeah.
The reason why Zipporah is also asking about the voice, because we started our exhibition in Sarajevo with a sound installation.
You can play. It takes approximately 5 minutes.
You deserve this space. Don't you see it? Don't you see that me... that I have big body. Look how big body I have. Look how big body is this. Do you see it? Do you see my big body? Do you see my big body? Go from here! Just go at once when I say it. Go. Ish! Ish! Everything around here, everything around here, and here, and here, and here, and anywhere here is mine. All space for my big body. Oh, I have big body. Oh, I have big body, and I am the owner of this space. So get the fuck out. Get out. When I step like this, when I step like this, it's mine, and I take so much space. No, 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 no! Don't come in here. No! That's my hip! That's my hip! And there, mine, 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 mine! That's mine! My space! My space! No, 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 no! This is fucking mine! La, 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 la. Look at you! Get up, get up, just like go. Hey, for the, you see, when I walk, it, you might think like I'm not using it, but I'm actually going to use this space and every part here, and this part here, and this part here, and there, and everywhere. I'm going to use this space. So just like don't stare at me and go. Ish, back off. Into my space. Get out.
Thank you.
And it was a very obviously nice confrontational moment, you know, theatrical moment with the visitor who enters the gallery. But for me, having a voice installation was important not only for this dramatic reason, but also as a way of marking a presence. So, the first time when I was working in this gallery, it was exactly 20 years before Selma, the first exhibition in my life I worked on was by a major international Italian artist, Michelangelo Pistoletto. So it was a very crazy experience for a young girl without any work experience. And that's when we did his big retrospective exhibition. And he was a great male authority that established the meaning of that space for me for the years to come. You know, on the other hand, now when we came, when we brought Selma, now I'm a different person after 20 years, questioning authority. Selma is, of course, questioning authority by her being. She doesn't need to have any experience. I did have to. And I was just thinking, you know, when you say, even from the Enlightenment time, you know, to find your own voice or to state something with your voice, say it with your voice, it is a way how we establish our presence within every social situation and how we actually establish liberation from an authority. When somebody tells you, you found yourself, you have to find your voice, not to be like others, but find your own voice in this social situation. So somehow this liberation of authority in finding Selma's voice and her messages was very important. And in the end, you know, Selma is talking to us. Sometimes she's harsh, sometimes she's inviting. And but the talking to us is always trying to find this liberation, not in separation from the society, but in community, in recognizing that we are all this in this space together.
Wow. Yeah. That's wonderful. A strong statement. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see how we're doing with time. Okay, I still have a few minutes. Finding your own voice. I wanted to check also on some feminist elements, as I promised I would do tonight. But first I thought, does everyone here have any question or might want to have a comment? Yes. I don't know how we're going to do it, Felix. Okay, Teresa has a microphone. And maybe you can say your name as well.
Hi, I'm Leila. Pozdrav iz Sarajeva. So I'm very happy to see you finally live and to experience this energy. So thank you. I was wondering, as I am a diaspora girl who studied here and also did the exchange semester in Sarajevo, and I really appreciated actually studying there. And you were studying in Banja Luka.
Banja Luka.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And afterwards at Rijks. Right?
No, I was studying at the United States, New York Upstate. Yeah.
So I was wondering, how was it for you? What did you appreciate about studying in Bosnia? And what was the benefits of this? And what did you appreciate about studying in the West?
Well, I studied in Banja Luka Academy of Art, Department of Painting, together with my two friends who are also here, Mila Panic and Nikola Kekeri. So we know each other for 15 years. And yes, this is first time that I'm actually leaving the city where I was going to the high school. I was very young, right? And also my brother comes with me. So it was much easier for us. But then we went to Banja Luka, which was not very easy, to go. It was Republic of Srpska. My name is Selma and he's black, It's, we are scared. And then it ended up that we never had any issues and that we were very well kind of accepted. And the experience of, teachers, professors was amazing. I think I learned the core of what does it mean to be an artist and to educate yourself at the level that you can always talk about your art. And I was lucky that one of my professors was Veso Sovil. He's an amazing artist, and sometimes he says, if you wanna make a good show, make your own, So this is something that the entire class will always remember. And then, yes, after I graduated from the academy, I went to Budapest for 1 year. There was a special program only for Roma students. And there I was studying anthropology and sociology. And then after I went to study in the US, I was studying video art program. So I find myself as well as a young woman artist in the US, and I had to start again from zero. I had to reinvent myself. And to be honest, this is the best thing which ever happened in my life, because now I can see the world from the double perspective in terms of art. And residency at the Rijks Academy, it's not like school, it's a residency, but it's postdoc. So you just make projects, and you have mentors, and this is where I also had the space that I can experiment, and this is what I really value in my education. Thank you, Leila.
Lovely. Thank you. One more question? Or a comment? Now is your moment.
I want to say something.
Yes, maybe,
because
absolutely.
We're in Germany. In summer, I went to the south of the Czech Republic on holiday. But then in Brno, there's the only museum in Europe. There's one museum for the Romani people. Mm-hmm. And so I went there. And I just wanted to say that because we're in Germany, so maybe someone passes to the Czech Republic. And I think it's very worthwhile and important to see it, because it's also often part of a larger story, or part of a, it's sidelined, or it's made part of something else. But it was a very beautiful, well-done museum with a huge historical line. It was linear, but I think that's important if it's the only museum for this topic. And it was a very beautiful, respectful, and heartbreaking element about the Roma Holocaust. Mm-hmm. It's a meaningful museum done in, let's say, in a poorer area of Brno. And because these are colleagues as well, you know, curators, and I very much value also.
And you met
work.
With the curators there?
I met with there were only two people. So I met with, I think it was a curator and a producer and an organizer. Mm-hmm. So it was everything in one. So I don't know if any of you went there by chance.
No. Have you been so?
Not yet.
Me neither. Definitely a place to visit. The only place I visited dedicated to contemporary Romani art was in Budapest. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if such a thing is in Germany at all. But thanks for sharing that, Zipora. I wanted to touch base a little bit again on feminism. Actually, with questions for all of you. I'm like so incredibly proud to be standing next to these three incredible women today, next to Selma, people that have been in your practice, but also people I didn't know you, Amelia, but Zipora I've known before, which I admire in your individual ways. But okay, we spoke about Susan Sontag. She's like the big writer who really engaged with Southeast Europe during the war, of course. And this anecdote of the way in which I met Selma, an important character for Selma. Somehow, like with you, Selma, the feminists that come to mind have often been US-based. I had always had to think of Judy Chicago, who is an artist who also worked a lot with cars in the 70s for a period in her life, just like you did. So now it's special that Selma's work and the cars of Judy Chicago are both at the Moderna Museet in Stockholm. Through the years, me and Selma spoke of June Jordan, who is an American poet who also engaged very much with the region, the Balkans, particularly during the war period in the 90s. And then there is your mentor in the US, Carrie Mae Weems, who you worked with and who is an artist that I deeply admired. And an artist who really was also searching a lot about thinking how to bring the voice, so that element of the voice comes up. And I don't know if you're familiar, but she's very well known for having done this cycle of photographies taking place in the kitchen table series. And so these were a little bit the context I had with Selma, and I wanted to ask, first of all, who are your feminist heroes? How did you enter? But maybe it could be also a relationship with one of the women that I mentioned. And then I'm going to put the question to Zipora and Amila too.
Yeah, I mean, like, feminism is a big practice also in my work, but I'm not really influenced by, of course, I know for the artists, and I love them. I mean, especially love Adrienne Pyper, you know. Mm-hmm. But for me, like, I don't consider that as a heroism in a way. For me, my mom is a hero. You know, mm-hmm. she's the person that I am getting inspired from, and she's like the best explanation for me of a kind of a modern feminist in a way, mm-hmm. and the best critique. So I always say that she's better artist than I am, because like she can really feel my works even though she's not educated. She doesn't know how to read or write, but she can see, you know. And I remember like barely she likes my shows, like my paintings, nothing. She just says I would never put your hoods, you know, like on the wall. But she likes when I do like drawings. She loves these flowers. This is first time ever that she likes something. It's because they're flowers, you know.
Did she like the film? Did she like the film?
No, because she was not. No.
Because it's like her memory as well. No.
She was there to support, but she doesn't. She's not interested.
But she did like the pink room.
She likes the pink room.
Okay, tell about the pink room. It's one great piece.
Yes. Yeah. Should I? Yeah. Yeah. Just explain. Yes. Like, once I sat with my mom and I asked her, like, what is like something that she really wanted when she was a kid, you know, but really, really. And I knew that I'm going to make this dream come true. And she said, She always wanted to have like a pink girl room, that everything is pink, from the bed, you know, everything. And she also wanted to have like a piano in the room, you know, this like imaginary room. And I was just drawing and writing down what she needs. And then it took me 3 years to find sponsors who would then build this room, you know. And in 2000, I think 21 or 22, when the COVID started or stopped, or
maybe 20,
something like that, we actually made this room into reality. So now she's having her pink room, and no one
in
can
her house. The room is in the house,
and this is a permanent collection in my house.
And my father also has a photograph.
No, okay, for her. And my father is shares. In the permanent collection of IFA.
Yes,
of the German Arts Institute. Yeah. So it happens to be displayed and mounted site-specifically in their house, but it isn't the room, the best thing.
Not the room. The room is at home, but there's like...
Yeah, you know. Yeah, that there is a model, of course. But, I mean, it's the work, which I thought was really fantastic.
So this
fantastic.
Is what my mom loves. Yes.
Right.
So,
thank you so much.
Thank you, Ami.
So what about you, Amila and Zipporah, then? How did you enter into feminist histories or thinking about feminist art?
Oh, this is coming from completely different sides. Well, I don't know, you know, now when she says, I'm thinking about my mom, I have to tell you also, because I grew up during this time of war, I don't want to put the atmosphere down, but because if we come to this. But honestly, my experience of feminism did come from these women who were making the town live. Because while the men were in the front and they were fighting for our lives, the women had to figure out how to make lunch, how to make the fire, how to organize to get the water, how to keep everybody clean, not sick. And somehow, you know, we have learned back then about a very important power of women. And I would say, you know, artistically, I could have many examples that we all know, but I would say that this experience really comes from real
it's
life.
Beautiful. Thank you. Yeah. Zipporah, you too.
Well, when I started studying art history, I was in a class with 200 students, most of them girls. About, you know, we were 18 years old. And there was also a female professor, and she said, yeah, there are a lot of women here, but remember, in the end, the guys will be the directors of the museums. And she said, so you're going to do something about that. But I have to admit...
Bit of pressure.
It was, we're working on it. But I mean, I have to admit, I didn't only see that there were mostly women sitting there. I was also, it was in the Netherlands, in Amsterdam. Not you, Arnisa, but there were mostly blonde girls there. From the wealthier families. This was 20 years ago.
It's a classic of art history, I think.
Not everywhere, I think. But in the Netherlands, back then, it was for sure. Yeah. So, but actually, the thinkers were the professors. They introduced that. But what I'm very thankful for is actually every woman, or let's say feminist person in general, mm-hmm. that I encounter every day. It can be the grandmothers, the aunties, the cousins, the sisters, but also someone in the supermarket who reminds you to be kind and, you know, supportive of other women, because, you know, we have the sexist bias, and also mm-hmm. other biases are, you know, internalized, unfortunately. Absolutely. And it feels like a violence sometimes inside of you. And but when you're on a daily basis, someone gently tells you, you know, support someone, think of that. It's they mention important. Someone extra. This is also super important, together with, of course, the great thinkers and writers.
Yeah, that is so important. Yes. But I feel that comes also a lot in your work. Like, how can we fight internalized misogyny? I think it's a constant struggle that we should never give up on doing. And I guess that goes to all of you to think about how... You know, just being a woman or bonding with other women is not necessarily an anti-patriarchal thing. It's really about trying to think how to fight that internalized misogyny within. And it's like how to put your dreams into action and how to find your own voice. I think we're coming towards the end. I know.
Heavy topics, Arnisa.
I know. Well, we are here, like, you know, with this beautiful film taken on a very special bridge. I think that is also the strength of Salma's work and also of your works, of sort of bringing those topics which are not easy, but then somehow they come across, they touch you and they come into your life and they enter into your life and are embraced by that. And that's where I find power in, and that's why I love being involved with Salma's work. Maybe, Salma, do you want to say any closing comments and for all the three of you?
Yeah. So, first of all, thank you all for being here, and I'm also very sad that the show is over. Yeah. This is it went so fast. But I'm happy that I will show the flowers in another museum, so they will not be locked in the storage. I'm also very happy and glad that Arnisa is here and that she's going to write my text where I'm showing the flower in Stedelijk Museum very soon. And thank you for supporting me always and to be my friend with whom I can actually talk about my works. Thank you, Zipporah, for believing in me, and thank you for, you know, like bringing me to Gropius Bau and giving me the trust and letting me to work together with you in order to put such a important show in my life. And I hope that in the future we will collaborate again. And of course, thank you, Amila, for being Amila and for being always there for me. Like, when no one believed in me, you were the first one, and I will, you know, never forget the things you would advise me, you know, and giving me this courage, you know. Once she said, you know, Salma, after this show in Sarajevo, it's going to be hard to make a better show. And I was always challenging myself, like, I have to do, like, a better and better show because Amila is going to see the shows, you know, she's going to judge. So thank you, Amila, for that. And of course, big thank to the best team so far, Matthias. Thank you so much for believing in my work and giving me the space and time that I can create this. It was amazing to collaborate with you. And thanks for the entire team of the museum. You were wonderful. And this was an amazing experience for me. And I will miss you so much. So, yes, and everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.